bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide. Send us your ideas. We are open to any idea.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
He is a brilliant creator. He's in charge of every detail.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show,
Raven safety Kyle Hamilton.
Coming up,
MLB Network host Brian Kenny. Plus, latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich.
And this man is a brilliant creator.
It's Andrew Siciliano.
And trying to sit up straight, actually. I had horrible posture, kind of leaning back, sitting on my feet in the opening hour.
Get it together. Come on.
What's up, everybody?
Hey,
everybody. Andrew. Chris Brockman, Jason, TJ, everybody else is here. My name is Andrew. I'm sitting in for Rich today. I used to do this all the time. Haven't done it in a while. You may or may not see me on NFL Network or the NFL Channel or the NFL Plus or all the NFL streaming platforms, formerly of the Red Zone Channel and DirecTV. And I'm here today. And tomorrow, and a lot of next week as well. As Rich is in London, he will join us coming up next hour. Rich will be on the call with the great Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, on NFL Network and NFL Plus at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium coming up on Sunday in London as the Jaguars play back-to-back games in London, a London residency, if you will. They were the home team last week, and they beat the Falcons in the whole Toy Story thing. And then this week, they switched stadiums from London's Wembley to Tottenham Hotspur. And now they are the road team taking on Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Fun fact about that one, if Latavius Murray gets in the end zone, and judging by playing time, he likely will not, but if Latavius Murray gets in the end zone, he will score 3 touchdowns for 3 teams in 3 games in 2 years in London. Remember, he had 2 games there last year?
What's
that? Remember that? I can't remember where he played for the first time, but then he ended up playing later for the Broncos. He played twice in London for 2 teams and scored touchdowns in both games. And now he's back with a 3rd team with the Buffalo Bills. Anyway.
I did not know that.
I did not know that, as somebody would say. Thank you. All right. More on the TNF game coming up tonight. We're in Washington tonight for the Commanders and the Chicago Bears, the winless Chicago Bears, who still can't figure out the social media thing. But in the meantime, let's talk baseball playoffs because we're well into those. And the divisional series are set now. Joining us, and I'm told he's on camera, from MLB Network, Brian Kenny. It's great to see you, sir. How are you?
Good, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for doing this here. I know you're busy, and I know you got better things to do, but we appreciate it. Good or bad, and I don't know that there is a right or wrong answer here, but good or bad that everything to open up was a sweep?
I think neither. Probably, if you're looking to get on with it, like in this new system, you don't want to again, you have your top 2 seeds in the system. I don't know how much you're following it, but the system, they added 2 teams to the playoffs last year, and you have your 2 top seeds. And like last year, it looked like the top seeds, after sitting around for a week, like looked like they were a little on their heels at the start. And in the National League, the 5 and 6 seeds advanced to the championship series. In the American League, it was the Astros and Yankees, and they were the 1 and 2 seeds. You want the regular season to mean something. You want to reward your top seeds. So I don't know. Maybe this, if I'm instant synopsis, I think this is good in that you get this round over quickly. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. Let's move on to the division series, the better teams, and the top 2 seeds who got to buy in the first round.
And last year, you had the Phillies, the 6th seed, obviously make it to the series and represent the National League before losing to the Astros. Or do we think maybe, Brian, the D-backs could be that team? Do you see that at all this year?
I mean, it's possible. I don't think they quite have the firepower. Now, that doesn't have to mean anything. These things aren't completely random, but certainly any team could just get on a good run. I think they lack the firepower of Braves, Dodgers, and Phillies. I think Phillies are there, too. I think the Diamondbacks are solid. They're a very good defensive team. They run very well. They've got a top 2 starting pitching you know, a top of the rotation thing with Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. They're not quite at the upper echelon of the Braves, Dodgers, and now you'd have to include Phillies in there.
How do you see Braves, Phillies?
Look, the Braves are a monstrous unit. The Braves offense is one of the best in the history of the sport, and their pitching, if healthy, is quite good. You know, Braves should win. That doesn't mean they do. You know, it's just like last year. The Braves were quite good. Remember, they marched down the Mets the final weekend of the regular season. They won 101 games last year, and they got dropped in their first round. So you can lose, but this is an all-time offense with power, with speed, with multi-dimensional players. So, again, I'd be slightly surprised, as much as you can be surprised in baseball, if the Braves don't get through.
Braves, as we dig down to the numbers, 8-5 this year against the Phillies. I think there are some, I don't think they're right, obviously, that see it as like the Braves and everyone else. What would you say to those people?
What, that the Braves are that much better?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're a level above, man. That's true. That's true. The Dodgers took a step back this year. The Dodgers, if they wanted to keep their foot on the accelerator, could be there with the Braves. They could have went spending. They could have gotten after it. But it was in their best interest to kind of retrench just a little bit, get healthier over the next 3 years, reset their spending, do all that, let their rookies play. They took a step back. The Phillies are still kind of a flawed team. They're very good in the postseason. They're very tough. They're mentally tough. Bryce Harper is a money player. But the Braves are at another level. Again, the Mets and the Padres were supposed to be there with them. They both went down and went down terribly. So the Braves are in a class by themselves.
Talking to Brian Kenny from MLB Network. I said hotel room earlier. Clearly, Brian, that's not a hotel room. I apologize.
You said it's my office, man.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's
like,
and Gehrig up there.
You know what? Like, I am so you. I didn't see that at first, obviously. I'm so used to looking at the camera. Then you got to look down. But like we're so used to getting people on from hotel rooms these days in this day and age where everyone can just open their phone or open their laptop. We thank you for that.
And tell Rich that's an Emmy plaque that we both got for SportsCenter the same year. So tell Rich, what year is that? That's like 2004. So Rich and I probably both won that.
Hold on, I'm writing this down right. 2004 Emmy. Can we make sure to clip this for Rich when he comes on? Rich is in London, obviously, as you know. So hold on, you want to take that off the wall here? You want to hold it up? No.
Also, there's a 2003 and a 2004. How about that? There we go. So tell Rich, have some pride in the old joint.
Oh, look at that.
2003 and 2004. How about that?
Now, hold on. Brian, was this one of the Emmys where, like, you had to write a check for them to give you the actual plaque?
I don't remember. I'm not sure I want to go there.
I hope not, because, like, sometimes with these awards, it's
maybe
like...
Maybe Rich remembers that. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what? Something else? Like, ask Rich. Like years later now, because I've won, you know, we've won a few Emmys here at MLB Network for MLB Tonight. And so, like, even my wife said, she goes, you have these plaques. Why don't you get the statue? I called them and said, can I get a statue for those SportsCenter Emmys that I won? And they said, no, you're an anchor. You can't. You have to be technical. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you know, when you're a SportsCenter anchor, you write the show. I'm the writer. I'm the host. And they go, no, you've really got it. Only to certain people.
So,
if Rich has an Emmy, I'd like to know about it.
Okay, so this is, Brian, this is like an entire different level of behind-the-scenes talk here, because for those who don't know, this is real what Brian's talking about. Like, you can walk into people's offices, and you're like, oh, my God, look, there's six Emmys there. Like, what are those for? And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, that's when I was a BA, you know, in 98. Like, you got an Emmy for that? It's like, oh, well, we all got an Emmy. It's like... Wait, but you're like the 38th. Not that you didn't serve a valuable purpose on the show and part of its success, but like you're like the 38th person on the list, and you have a statue there. And then I remember the one time I was up for an Emmy. By the way, I lost to MLB Tonight. The one time for Total Access I was up for an Emmy. I remember I walked into someone's office and said, "Hey, can I go to New York for this?" And my co-host Lindsay Rhodes, can we go to New York for this? Like, oh no, you guys got to do the show. And I said, but are you going? Oh yeah, I'm going. Like, but wait a minute, we can't go. No, you guys got to do the show. Like, but you're right. going.
What you hear is, it's really not for you. It's like, you
it's
just
not
wrote
for
it,
you.
Anchored it.
Yeah. And so I put my foot down.
I've got like, you know, six at the house. You know, I've got all the right. statues. I just look back at these and I go, I don't know, maybe I couldn't afford it. I didn't know, but somebody told me, no, you're not worthy. I said, so if I did audio, I'd be able to get it. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Jason, we love you over there. Jason, we love you in audio. This is a very, as I said, inside baseball, literally, kind of thing. But I eventually convinced them to let me go. I went, we didn't win. Fine. We lost to MLB tonight. Harold was amazingly gracious. Love him. You guys deserve to win. But whatever. That was Miami story. Moving on. I don't like to talk about attendance. I don't like to beat up fans. I just think that's low-hanging fruit when it comes to sports talk radio. That said, isn't it a problem, Brian, when you have a new ballpark announced here coming up for the Rays, and it looked like a Tuesday in June at these playoff games here for the Rays?
Yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, I was surprised to see it. That's about their average attendance. How do you not do better than that? I don't have some perfect answer. I like the Trop, by the way. Like, I've been to the Trop a lot. They've had me down there. Because they do the bullpenning thing, they do the opener, and so I've been down there as part of their promotions and that sort of thing. I don't get it. I guess afternoons, but you knew they were going to make the playoffs. Maybe they wanted a division title. I hope with the new ballpark, when it's eventually built, they get more excitement there. But you know, look, that's a disappointment, and that's and you look around at the different parks. Look at Philadelphia last night; the place is throbbing.
Amazing,
still. So, you know, and most parks are like that. I've never, Andrew, heard louder crowds in my lifetime, going back to Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium in the 70s. I've never heard louder crowds than at Philadelphia and Houston last year. So there is an immense amount of excitement in most every city, and it's disappointing that that happened. Yeah, afternoon games, but I'm with you. Like, it doesn't explain everything. Mm-hmm. There's some malaise there regarding their team that was – had a pretty exciting season. They were the best team in baseball for the first month. They won 99 games. Disappointing.
Yeah, and to your point, go search Twitter here for the audio only in Philly last night on the Grand Slam. It'll send chills down your spine. It's amazing, and there's truly nothing better than playoff baseball in the building. It sends chills down your spine. It is that good. I'm a Guardians fan, formerly Indians fan. And whether it was in 16, there shouldn't have been a rain delay, but that's another story and another show. But being in the building,
it was pouring.
It was an 8-minute rain delay.
I was there too.
Without the rain delay, they win the game.
You could not play in those conditions.
8 minutes.
I'm taking your Emmy back.
Okay. Before I let you go, on those Guardians, any insight on Tito's replacement, Venable? What do you know?
I don't have inside information on that. I know this. They kind of got a pass this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mets, Padres, and Cardinals, and you want to throw in the White Sox, were so disastrous that it kind of clouds over how disappointing it was for Cleveland. They were the youngest team in the postseason last year. They had all that contact hitting, all that fielding, the speed, all of that. The new rules come in. They were supposed to be the team best equipped to take advantage of it. So that is disappointing. And there's going to be a hot market out there. Like, I don't know if the Mets are absolutely centered on just Craig Counsell, but there's going to be a hot market out there for managers this year. There's going to be some replacements, and a couple of guys are very much on the hot seat this coming year.
Bieber, McKenzie got hurt. Jimenez didn't match last year's numbers. And let's face it, the Josh Bell and especially Mike Zunino signings were utterly disastrous. They tried to add a couple of bats. Neither of those bats did anything. Well, Josh Bell did something, but not nearly enough. Mike Zunino was, I mean, this is statistically the worst catcher in baseball, and then everyone got hurt and nobody hit. Yeah, it was.
Other than that, everything was fine.
Other than that, it was great. And other than that, they were still somehow in it in August because the Twins couldn't run away. And then there's a whole waiver wire thing with the Angels and whatever. We don't have enough time, and the Guardians don't move the needle. However, MLB Network does. MLB Network has live pre- and post-game coverage for every postseason game throughout the World Series. You can check out, Brian, obviously, on MLB Now, which airs today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Brian Kenny, we appreciate the time, and we will send your best Emmy wishes to Rich.
Excellent. 2003, 2004, see if he remembers. All right.
Put him back on the
see
wall.
Ya.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Kenny, everybody.
Thank you, man.
You got it. Yeah, the Emmy, the behind-the-scenes Emmy thing, and this is truly inside baseball here. It is something. By the way,
that's how Del Tufo has what, like nine now?
Shows yeah, our right? team efforts. I'm gonna quote Jerry Krause here.
Oh, geez.
He actually
be careful.
Did know what he was saying. He just said it in totally the wrong way. Organizations do win championships. Okay, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen also win championships, but organizations do win championships. My point being, when shows win awards, there are a lot of people that go into it, and those people deserve their flowers as well. The way that these Emmys have worked, however, to his point, sometimes you, or my point, sometimes you walk into people's offices, you're like, oh my God, this person has 85 Emmys. And you're like, hold on, but you really didn't do anything for that show, did you? Right? Did you? Right? Really?
It happens.
Okay. I gotcha. Cool.
Unlike our show, where everyone does four jobs.
You guys, when you win, all deserve your trophies. But yes, the one time I was up for an Emmy, or rather the show that I hosted was up for an Emmy, Rich's former show, NFL Total Access. Yours truly, Kara Henderson, took over 1 year. And then yours truly, Lindsay Rhodes, took over the next year. And that next year, we were nominated for an Emmy. And it was like, ah, you guys don't have to go. Like, oh, I'm going. I'm calling in sick that day. And I went. And we did not win.
And you sat through 3 hours to find out you didn't win.
Hey, man, we had a great time in New York. That was an all-timer. That was one of those all-time road trips.
The Emmy trip is very fun. Yeah. The awards show itself.
Hey, whatever. You dress up.
Could be better.
Yeah, I mean, it's
dinner after
sports
is always
TV
spectacular.
Prom. Yeah. Whatever. Everybody had a good time.
It's fun to see old friends.
Andrew, it is an honor just to be nominated.
It was. It truly was an honor. Like, I remember Harold Reynolds came up to me. He's like, my man, I watch you every night. I'm like, true story. I'm a baseball fan. I watch you almost every night.
Right.
And they won. Of course they're going to win. All right. We're breaking now.
Breaking. Let's do it.
Coming up next, why a Bears loss tonight would mean even more depressing history. It's Andrew sitting in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions, and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
What was it like shooting that scene, though, with Ray Kinsella and his father?
What I did was I went back to when I first read it. And so I become the audience when I read it. And when I read it, I went... I couldn't believe that it had orchestrated itself to that thing, and I had that feeling on the couch. And so I knew if I played that straight, if I didn't wink at anybody, that these players did come. You know, that's my corner. You know, they kept coming after me. I wasn't going to be able to do that movie. I was going to do Revenge, and I got into a... Finally, Revenge kept getting pushed, and finally I had to put my foot down and say, look, if you don't get this movie together, I'm going to go to do this movie in the corn. I asked the director, why did you hold out for me so long? Why? And he said, well, and this is one of the greatest actors we've ever seen. He goes, they wanted me to do it, Robin Williams. And I said, Robin Williams is perfect. He said, yeah, but when I think of Robin, I think he does hear voices in the corn. And I don't want that. People don't believe you hear voices. That's a director that makes a save. That's a Mariano Rivera, you know?
Sure.
It's a save. He saved his movie because of his belief in an idea, you know, not the quality of actor, because Robin Williams will never...
Of course.
This is a guy so special. But I was curious. I said, he's actually a bigger star than me, you know, whatever. And he goes, I need somebody that you don't think hears voices.
And that would be you. I've never heard Robin Williams was considered for that role. That's unbelievable. And then you did it, and obviously we're talking about it today.
Yeah. It had gold dust on it when I read it, because I did that little intake of breath. Do you want to have a catch? And of course, I wept myself.
If you're watching the Roku channel, great stuff there with Kevin Costner. I could literally listen to him talk Field of Dreams for hours. You ever had a chance to meet Kevin Costner at all? Chris Brockman?
When he's done the show.
Here, thank you. Yeah. Yes, he was sitting in this chair right here.
One of those chairs, right, by the way.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
A couple years ago.
Hi, was that on TV, the thing that was just there?
I made the one set up a movie once.
Good movie, bad movie?
Yeah, it was The Guardian. It was pretty good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Met him at the premiere, and like hung with him for a little bit after
the
draft day premiere in L.A.
Yeah,
and it was pretty damn hysterical.
I know people like kind of slag on draft day a little bit. I love it. When it's on TV, if I'm flipping channels, I always stop and watch.
Absolutely.
It was literally on last week. Did the same thing.
Well, it's about the Browns. You know, I'm a Browns fan, obviously. But there are issues with it that, like, clearly within 30 seconds of the movie, you're like, come on, this isn't real.
No, but I know. Anyway, but who cares? It's still awesome.
I generally don't like sports movies. Have we had this conversation?
Always watch it.
No.
I don't like sports movies. Let me do this first, however.
Gosh.
Hi,
oh, gosh.
It's Andrew sitting in for Rich.
On a sports show.
On the Rich Eisen show. Not a sports movie, a sports show. If you want to make a movie about the show, we can discuss it.
Yeah.
Let's do a deal.
Talk to our people.
This is the Rich Eisen show desk. It is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. And yes, I am talking to you. Click or call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. The reason I don't like sports movies, okay? It's the reason why I had trouble watching The Morning Show. However, The Morning Show had great writing, like some of the conversations back and forth, the screaming and yelling. Right. Brilliant writing. Brilliant. But because you, working in the business, point out all the little things that, oh, that's not real.
That's why I couldn't watch Newsroom.
It's exactly.
Nobody actually talks like that in a newsroom.
Sometimes you have great, I love the dialogue, but not every day in a newsroom is someone standing at a desk
right.
with a soliloquy about saving the world. It's just not, it doesn't happen.
There's a lot more cursing.
That way, right? I mean, it's actually far more like Succession than it is about Newsroom.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, it's why lawyers can't watch legal shows. My dad's a lawyer, retired, couldn't watch legal shows, right? Because it's not real. It's why doctors couldn't watch Grey's Anatomy. This is fake. I can't watch this. Right? Same reason I don't necessarily like sports movies, because A, the game action is never real. The game action always looks so fake. Always looks so fake. And then so many other things, just like, come on. That wouldn't happen like that, right? Very first episode of The Morning Show. I stuck with it. One of the co-anchors, the guy, not the weather guy, the other guy that always wanted the number one spot, the political guy, he has an IFB, you know, right? I'm wearing an IFB, this thing right here, right? On his shoulder, all right? And a lot of us walk around like, you're not on air, you walk around like this. True story. I go through airports all the time with this thing on my shoulder because you get done on the air somewhere, right? Let's say, and like during training camp, you get done in Cincinnati and you got to get to the airport. You got to fly to Miami, right? And you literally go straight off the air to the airport. And then you go through security and it may or may not buzz because there's a metal clip on this thing. And I'm like, what am I doing wearing this thing? I have gotten to hotels in the next town with this thing still on my shoulder. Anyway, it's on his shoulder and it was a generic. Okay, this one is molded to my sizable ears, right? You work in this business, you have ones just for you, mm-hmm. molded to you. So it lays better, it hides better, it's more comfortable. He had a generic IFB on his shoulder. The only people that wear generic IFBs are people that A, forgot their own, or B, you're a guest somewhere. And the first episode, I'm like, come on, that's this, like, come on, come on.
But it's that little,
come on.
It's that super little tiny things that we would point out because we notice.
Or you have the anchor of the field going, hi, I'm Chris Brockman reporting live. No one talks like that on TV. And if they do, they're in like market 185.
It's their first job.
Okay, it's their first job. Nobody talks like that. Especially not on a network show. If they do, then like they're the intern thrown on the air. You shouldn't talk like that.
Right. That's
and so it's
the
these little
show.
Things. Same thing with sports movies, right? You got, come on. That's not real. It just isn't.
Have you enjoy anything then?
I'm not the person who says I hate everything. I promise you. Like I just said, TJ, with the morning show, like I got into it. I think the dialogue, like, okay, wow. Like some of the plot twists and the way they're all trying to knife each other in the back.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I haven't watched this season.
I'm
yet,
down.
I haven't seen
it. I'm only like into season two. I'm a late adapter to that show. So, but yeah. Anyway,
Billy
I digress.
Billy Crudup is awesome on that show.
Who is?
Billy Crudup is awesome.
Billy Crudup is
awesome.
Truly amazing.
Yeah.
On this show. Yeah. Yes. I love the beginning of episode two when he kind of seems like a different character, and someone says you're not yourself, and he goes, "I know, I'm normally just smiling like a Cheshire cat," right? Because that's his first season. That's in the first season of the show. That's all he was. Anyway, Bears Commanders tonight. I do think the Commanders win. I do think they're a better team. I think we look at this game much differently. We still look at it as a Commanders win. They're at home. Home team always has the edge on Thursdays. I think we would look at it differently, a lot differently. If Ron Rivera had gone for two, they got the two, they got the win last week in Philly, then they're a 3-1 team. And we're talking about, is this team a legit contender in the NFC East? I still think they are. I think clearly they're the third team, but I think they are in the playoff conversation. As for the Bears, look, if they lose tonight, it's 15 in a row. If they give up 25 tonight, that's 15 losses in a row while giving up 25. A lot of people want to put it out there that Matt Eberflus could be out. Not now. The Bears don't fire in season. They've never done it. And there is no obvious interim replacement on his staff. Like most, this is how we kind of pull back the curtain on this side of it. Think, oh, coach might be fired. All right, who's the interim? And then you kind of go, I could see this guy taking over. I could see this guy taking over, right? There's no obvious answer on the Bears staff. It's not a staff with any obvious, oh, this guy's in the next head coaching cycle list of interviews, and there is no one on the staff that has previous head coaching experience. Right. Like, for example, look at the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich's not getting fired, but there are so many obvious candidates on that staff. Okay, you have Jim Caldwell, a former NFL head coach and a good one on that staff. You have Ejiro Avero as the DC, who is a guy that has interviewed for head coaching jobs and will be an NFL head coach. Thomas Brown as the OC. Will be an NFL head coach that day. There are so many obvious answers on Chicago. There are none. And that's another reason why he is not going to get fired. As for Justin Fields, what do we think? Can I poll the audience here? I know what I think. Quarterback win-loss as a stat. Quarterback win-loss as a stat.
How do we feel about it?
How do we feel about the stat?
I feel, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's quarterback, obviously, the most important position, right? They're going to get that one loss stat. But it doesn't take into consideration if your left tackle is awful.
Correct.
Or if the defense plays bad.
Correct.
Or if guys are dropping ball, like things
but
out
the quarterback's
the
most important
control.
Guy in the field. We realize that.
Most important, yeah. I don't know if I'd love that stat, though, to be honest with you.
Okay. I don't love it either.
It's not the first thing I look to when I figure out if a quarterback is good or bad.
Correct. But it is a stat, I think, that does bear...
I like it.
But some value. But have some value.
It might be 10th on the list of the stats I look at.
Okay. I teased coming up next.
Coming up next.
The Bears have a chance to make even more history tonight. Other than losing 15 straight games, the longest losing streak in franchise history, if they lose tonight, we now have to look at their calendar and their schedule and say they have a chance to lose 17 consecutive over 2 years. With a loss tonight, NFL research tells us that Justin Fields would tie former Oiler Dan Pastorini for the most losses in a quarterback's first 30 starts in a career. Now, those are cherry-picked numbers. Like, why is 30 the bar? Okay, well, it will be his first 30. And so they thought about, okay, well, had any quarterback lost this many games? If the Commanders beat the Bears tonight, the Bears would have lost, will have lost, 25 of Justin Fields' first 30 starts.
Ooh, yikes.
Dude.
25 out of 30 was last week his fault. That's a layered conversation. I mean,
he had a turnover late.
He
did enough to put them up by enough points.
Correct.
Where, you know, they could, he put them in a position.
Was
to win
the fourth and one decision his fault? Nope. Bad decision. They should have kicked the field goal.
Right.
Okay. He also turned the ball over. Yep. Both can be true. He also played the first half of his life, of anyone's life. Anyone's life. I mean, that was the guy they drafted times five. Like, we want that guy.
Yeah. Right? 17 weeks of that.
He was throwing lasers from the pocket.
Laser.
When he chose to run, he was great. When they moved the pocket, he was great. When they put him on the run, he was great. And then it all fell apart. That's what made that game that much more frustrating. And for all the Bears fans leaving, chanting Caleb Williams, and there's plenty of video of that, of Bears fans understandably upset leaving Soldier Field, or as they call it there, Soldiers Field, upset and chanting Caleb Williams' name. You're going to chant his name after you saw Justin Fields play that way in the first half?
Right, four TDs?
Because here's a hint. It's in there. It's there. It's in there. You just got to get it out of it, out of him more often. And how do you get it out of him more often? Understanding, if you break down the film and you listen to JT O'Sullivan, follow him on Twitter, or Dan Orlovsky, who does great work, okay? Or Kurt Warner, who was on this show yesterday, right? Yesterday?
He was with What the Football, with Susie Tuesday. And Amy Trask.
Okay,
on
What
Tuesday.
The Football, okay.
Yeah.
Talking to someone sitting in this studio yesterday. Like, there are times you look at the Bears' offense where you go, what are they doing? Like, literally, what was the play? What? Because not all 11 are doing the right thing at all. So, that's another reason why Luke Getsy, if you were to fire Matt Eberflus, probably does not get that job. Right? Not with the dysfunction you've had. Now, when you have the quarterbacks do the X's and O's, you learn a lot. But there are things that they will often tell you, and Kurt is really good at this, as is Dan. Like, I don't know what these guys were coached to do here. But clearly, it doesn't make sense. But there are layers here. Did the quarterback get the play out right? Maybe they were all coached to do the right thing, but the quarterback didn't call the play right. Why? Did he make a mistake? Was it too loud? Did the headset crap out? Or did a player say, maybe in this case, because he takes a lot of flack, number 10 for the Chicago Bears, who will not be playing tonight, do the wrong assignment, do the wrong thing after the quarterback got the play out wrong? I don't know. As I said, it's always easier to look at it and go, oh, that sucks, than actually figure out why it happened, which is what I always tell young people when they ask me for advice in this business. Well, I need to build my social media profile. You do. Absolutely. That's the only way these days. However, snark does not equal analysis. It doesn't. It's easy to be snarky on social media. It's easy to be snarky sitting here. It's another thing to truly get the answers as to why something deserved your snark. Got it? And there is my preachy sanctimonious moment of the day.
But you're telling the truth there, man. You're absolutely telling the truth. People love to, like, for instance, say Dak Prescott sucks. Well, someone can give you examples of, well, look at his record. Look at his conference record. Look at his individual vision record. Look at all of this. No, well, he sucks. Okay, well, you're not really making a compelling argument. You're just stating a stupid point.
And we all sit here on our laptops during the games and tweet away, try to out-snark each other. Anyway, moving on. Rich is in London. Big game. Like, really good game.
Yeah,
coming up this week, Bills Jaguars really Sunday. Game. Rich is on the call. Rich will call in. Oh. Rich Eisen on the appropriately named Rich Eisen Show. Coming up next, I'm Andrew. You're watching. You're listening. We thank you kindly. That handsome devil straight ahead.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
I don't know if they still have a shot to make the playoffs or not. Do they? Do they still have a shot?
Well, yeah. I mean, all they have to do is just try and win one of the next two without Tony. And then he comes back. And no one's running away with this league. No one's running away with this division right now.
You know what? I guarantee we'll win one of the next two without Tony.
Okay.
And I'm guaranteeing we'll make the playoffs.
Okay. I will write that. Write that down right now. Shaquille O'Neal.
If we don't make the playoffs, I'll come with a Dallas Cowgirl suit on your show with some pom-poms for 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I will come. I'll walk out for 10 seconds. Let everybody take pictures, make fun, then I gotta leave. 10 seconds, that's all you get. Not 11 seconds, not 12, you get 10 seconds.
Okay.
I have on the skirt, pom pom, and a blonde ponytail wig.
If again the Dallas Cowboys, they don't make the playoffs at all in this season. Okay.
Now what are you gonna do if they make the playoffs?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So same bet. But I think they're making the playoffs.
All right, deal.
I'll do it with you, Shaq. How about that?
Deal.
How are you, Shaq?
First of all, it's not my fault. You need to blame it on the Dallas shops. I've been downtown Dallas looking for some big booty cheerleader shorts. They don't have any.
So.
But yes, I'm a man of my word. And yes, I will come there one day when you least expect it.
Ooh.
And fulfill my bet.
Well, but the thing is, I have to do it with you, Shaq. So I do need probably a little bit of a heads up, you know.
No, but you know what? I don't want you to do it with me because, you know what? You waited long enough.
Okay.
You know, you're at the point to where you don't think I'm going to believe it. So just to prove it to you, I want you to be front and center.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you 12 seconds.
This is the best possible scenario, Shaq, is you've extended it 2 seconds and absolved me from having to do it.
Exactly. I just want you to sit there and watch.
Yes, the great Shaquille O'Neal, much taller than me. Hi, everybody. It's Andrew sitting in for Rich. Something I found out about Shaq, not only amazing as a basketball player, Hall of Famer, and Shaq amazing on TNT. I just found out this summer that Shaq put in $250,000 into Google. Did you know this? When it was only a $100 million company. $250,000 into
That's
Google
insane.
As a $100 million company. Shaq does not have to worry about the $1.4 billion lottery coming up.
That's a quarter of 1%.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. that's good.
So he's good at investing.
Let's see. Google.
I don't know how we got onto financial
valuation.
Talk. Yeah, do the math. As you do the math, let's welcome in. I don't want to call him a guest on the show because it is his show. He is the great Rich Eisen, London calling, getting ready to call a game in London.
That's
the Bills and the Jaguars. How is London, Rich?
Cheerio, gents.
Cheerio to you.
Cheerio.
Hello, Kevna.
You should have worn one of those hats today.
Yeah. Where's your funny hat?
Like a tam o' shanter?
Yes.
So you're going in a tam o' shanter?
I don't know.
That's Scotland, isn't it?
Make it a wacky GDM bit.
One of the Buckingham Palace hats.
Like a beef eater hat?
Yeah.
Like a lid?
Yeah, beef eater.
Dressed like the palace guard.
Yeah.
That's sort of like half a Brian Kenny is what you're saying. How's his hair? Does his hair still look the same? Because I don't look
okay.
I look completely different. He looks exactly the same, right? Brian's frozen in time, correct?
He kind of has that like full head of hair, but like not doing anything with it. Kind of full spiky thing.
It's just there.
Like,
it's just,
I have product in my hair. Way too much product.
Bless him.
Like Kenny kind of looks like it's just long and no product and perpetual bedhead. But hey, look at me. I'm showing off. I still have hair.
Let's talk a little bit of baseball here.
Let's do it.
Because here's my issue. Why doesn't baseball reseed? Why in the world do the Atlanta Braves, after the season they just had, boat racing everybody with five guys in their lineup with 35 home runs, that they now have to take on the Phillies and not the Diamondbacks? That is ridiculous. The way that the bracket is. The bracket is the bracket, and we're not going to reseed. That's why the NFL playoffs is the best. They reseed. If the 7 seed advances, guess what? The 1 seed faces them.
And Brian and I were talking about this. I said, is it good or bad that we had sweeps for all these first 4 series? And he thought about it. He's like, well, it's neither here nor there, I guess. I mean, let's get on with it. But I know we had the Phillies as a 6 seed get to the World Series last year. All right, maybe we see that this year. But if you have these sweeps, are you? Yes, it's fun for those fan bases for these teams to stay in it all throughout the regular season. The Cubs, the Reds, for example, in the NL, battling down to the final weekend. But if these teams generally aren't going to go anywhere, we're going to get sweeps, and then why are we here?
The TV it stinks revenue. That there isn't obviously a decisive game 3, right, for any of these wild card series. And I bet you Major League Baseball sitting around going, really? Out of all 4 of them, we didn't get one game 3 at all. But look, I think I'm talking your language too, Brockman, and same with Sarah, that come on. Like and I understand that the Dodgers would have had to face the Brewers technically, right? So that said, the Brewers didn't advance. It was Arizona that advanced. And so now Arizona should be the ones to face, you know, Atlanta. Certainly in the baseball playoffs, such a crapshoot. Once you finally get into these series and these games, they're the sport where I guess seeding doesn't matter the most, but you should still at least do such a thing. And then Philadelphia, I mean, out of any home ballpark, do they have the number one home field advantage in the playoffs? I know Houston is loud. I can't wait to see what Camden Yards comes across
Camden Yards
looking
is
like and sounding
amazing.
Like. Right? I mean, they have been waiting for a long time. So I'm eager to see that. But, man, I just thought to myself, wait a minute, the Braves get the Phillies? There's something off about that.
The other thing, too, is both of those NL series are division series, are teams in the same division.
They know each other, I guess.
Fun. I mean, it is, I guess. Obviously, they have a history. Braves beat the Phillies 8 out of 13 this year. They're 8-5. But wouldn't you rather see, like for years we had it in the NFL, well, you can't play a team in your division, right, in the first round of the wild card.
I remember that too. But that's what I was ready to, have a take on, if anything, on my flight. I was thinking about that on my flight. And anybody on a transatlantic flight, when they turn the lights off, and they put the shades down. Mm-hmm. Anybody that still has a conversation with their seatmate should be on a no-fly list. That is just at this point in time. And there's nothing so pressing to have a jocular conversation at this point in time that can't wait until it lands, until the plane lands. We should season that. It's a quiet car, a quiet zone. Honestly, these people have something wrong with them at this point in time.
So I agree.
If I seem a little bit cranky, irritable, tired looking.
Did you sit next to someone like that on your flight?
No. In front of. Okay, in front of.
Wow. Did he have his light on too? Because that's
it was
the
a woman. It were two ladies, and it's just like, you know what? And yeah. and I'm like, am I going to be that person? Am I going to be that person? No, I wasn't that person, Chris. Wow. Thank you for taking the least of me.
But you know, I would have had every if you did.
I would have had every right.
Yes,
to have turned around and said the following: "What is the matter with you people?
What is this
back and forth between you and your seatmate must continue on for the next 4.5 hours while we're all trying to sleep.
Did they know just each other? Were you able to figure out, like, were they friends who were flying together, or were they just two random people that
it's just met? Honestly, it's just like you people can't like each other that much. You can't. It's what I was thinking. And I thought to myself, I'm sitting in front of two female Del Tufos on this flight. That's what I thought.
Can and I'm like, I can't wait to get on the show. Del Tufo with a wig, please. Can we get on that? Can we do that?
I almost
think there's a real photo.
He makes funs with everyone.
Just don't fly with him ever.
There's also, and I whether it's a red eye or a transoceanic flight, when they turn the lights off, I'm sorry, when everyone goes to bed, you shouldn't put your light on.
Exactly.
Like if you need to prep for this big meeting, that's fine. Use the light on your own phone, or if you're reading your laptop at that point, you can read your laptop without the overhead light on. I'm trying
to
sleep.
It should be, listen, Andrew, I know you don't have children. It's like night time. Lights out. No more talking. No more talking. Lights out. It's time to sleep. What is the matter with you people? Don't you understand what the time zone difference is going to be when you land? What do you just blow past this whole jet lag thing?
I think made my point. The over-the-counter pharmaceuticals.
I almost tweeted about it. I almost tweeted about it, and I deleted it because when you tweet about your travel problems, it's kind of like your fantasy team or the bad beats in poker. Nobody cares.
I think it's worse than those two.
I actually care about people's fantasy.
Yes, because then you're coming across.
Hold on, I'm tweeting this out
as the elitist.
I care about fantasy problems. Not
average fan sitting in the upper deck or average fan sitting in 35B in the back of the plane is
Andrew.
That's how they're reacting.
I'm sitting in coach. I'm not getting
I've gotten that flack when I've done those tweets.
This had nothing to do with the seat. I know it doesn't. It's a societal issue.
That's how they're going to react. They're going to react because I've done it. I've had those tweets about like, oh, this guy's got his filthy feet on the wall or something like that. Wow. It's like, whoa, but you're sitting in first, buddy. I get that all the time.
Andrew, they give me crap because I get mad about people reclining their seat in front of me.
Oh, but like, don't get me started on that.
But see, that's a problem.
No, I recline my seat. Deal with it.
Yeah, don't give me the option.
Button
right, exactly.
That pushes my seat back. By the way, behind me are allowed to push your seat back as well.
That's awful. Okay, yeah, Andrew, you're 5'6". All right, I'm 6'3". Like I need the room more than you.
But so push your seat back.
Wow,
that wasn't an issue for me.
We don't need a height shame.
That wasn't an issue for me because my seat mechanically went into a flatbed. But listen, that's for another day.
I knew that. We should feel bad about him. He's sitting in 1A.
What?
On a transatlantic double-decker flight.
There's nothing better than the beds on the plane, though.
Garcon, where's my champagne?
Honestly, my choice for breakfast was not available when I woke up.
Chocolate chip cookie was not
this
warm.
This scramble has
you understand? Do you understand? There are only 50 selections for the films, okay? So I was very upset people behind me didn't shut up.
Just take the hot towel and cover your eyes with it and go to sleep. Like, come on.
Sometimes we say this is a first world problem. This is literally a first class problem.
First class problem.
Yes.
Hey, okay.
Okay.
So, when I did land, I can tell you this. It's just for at customs, okay? At customs and passport control, just upon landing. Mm-hmm. And again, this is unofficial in terms of how things might play out on Sunday. 10-1 Bills fans. 10-1 Bills.
Really?
Yeah. 10-1. But that's not surprising, is it? The Jaguars have a residency there. Like Jaguars fans aren't flying from Jacksonville
because
it's not a novelty.
They're like Celine Dion in Vegas.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
All right. but
it's not a novelty, right? Bills fans, this is a novel. Like, we're going to London.
They were everywhere. Did you see the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, change the blue law in New York for Sunday to make sure that the people can drink? Yeah, got the governor.
8 a.m. You can start serving in Buffalo.
Start pounding. Let's start pounding.
Tables are going to start getting broken mad early.
But I'm telling you what, though, they were setting up fire pits at passport control, getting ready to just jump in and just stomp people.
Did anyone jump on a folding table?
The mafia was there
at immigration,
bro. Mafia was there at passport control, and so that's just the first blush that there were tons of Bills fans, tons of Bills fans. Maybe Jaguars fans have just been here already for a week, and the Bills, by the way, fly out tomorrow. So they're practicing today. We just Zoomed with Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills, who, by the way, said it is feasible. I'm paraphrasing, but he said it is possible that Von Miller plays. They're going to see how he practices today. There was a little bit of a walkthrough on Wednesday, but you're going to see how he practices today. Looks good, and it's entirely possible Von makes his debut here in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where there's – again, 10-1 Bills fans at passport control that I saw today coming off of my red eye.
Vaughn has not played since the knee injury, obviously on Thanksgiving a year ago. Yesterday on the podium, he sure sounded like he was ready to go. Obviously, we'll find out on game day, you and Kurt Warner on the call. Do we think that they are going to have folding tables outside in Tottenham?
I don't know.
For Bills fans to jump through.
I'll let you know. Maybe that's what the ladies behind me were talking about.
Do you know that they were Bills fans?
I hope they're at the game.
I don't know. But that's the early report here from London.
Love it.
For the four windows of football, as Brockman likes to call it.
It's so great. I love it.
So, yeah, we got that going on.
Do you think, because I was thinking about this yesterday, people think, the Jaguars have the advantage here. Right, because the Jaguars are there. I actually think there is something to be said about a potential disadvantage.
Oh yeah,
for the Jaguars being there for two weeks, because Doug Peterson, Rich, last week before they flew off to London for two, said that there were a lot of logistics that he was still trying to sort through in his heads, like things like looking at film 1 week to the next, things like rehabbing injuries. Hold on, stay right there. This is the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be right back. Breathe. Still on Roku.
We're seeing him on Saturday. We're seeing him Saturday morning. We'll ask about it. All I know is I'm, on fumes right now. And again, it's just, time difference and things of that nature and two yammering ladies on the flight. but put it all together, I can only imagine it's a complete advantage to be on fully acclimated to the time zone and everything like that. And I can't wait to ask, what did they do all week? What happened? We'll ask him about that. And on Saturday, tomorrow I've got Bills practice. Saturday is some Jaguars practice. And then Sunday's the game.
I know what MJD did. We had 45 seconds. I looked at MJD's Instagram. Maurice Jones-Drew, Jaguar legend, was over there. He posted something from Ibiza this week.
Oh, he went to Spain.
He's just partying? He's just partying?
There are family beaches in Ibiza as well.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not know that.
By the way,
very impressed that you went Castilian.
Yes.
With Ibiza as opposed
Castellano.
To Ibiza.
Let's all speak some Castellano. Yeah.
Very, very impressive. Andrew, you're hooked on phonics, bro.
Have you hiked there? You had to have gone on a hike there, right? Is that why?
You got to be up against the hard out. Yes. I mean, we have to be.
We have 15 seconds. Rich, are you cool to stay over for
top of
the
next hour?
All right.
You got it, brother.
5 minute nap. Stay there. Rich Eisen in London on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere, everyone.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.